Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Fire Emblem podcast with your two favorite guys, Blaze and Shu.
Hi. What's going on? I guess. Whatever.
So, are we going to say that thing that we usually say at the beginning of podcasts?
You know, it's been a long time since our last episode, but I promise. Yeah, no, I'm not going to make any promises anymore. I think that if I, the less I promise, the more consistent we'll be. Maybe we should try that out.
Maybe. How's Fates going, Shu?
It's going all right. I'm a busy guy, okay? So I haven't really played.
I'm still, I just got past the route split. I chose Old Conquest because.
Yeah, don't worry, man. I mean, I'm so OG. I bet I've played more Fire Emblem than anybody listening to this podcast anyway. So I'm still incredibly qualified. And yeah, I'm definitely challenging each and every one of you schmoes that are listening to this. I mean, loyal listeners.
Right. They don't just call up your Fire Emblem friend who has no life and, played FE11, 12 times because it's, in his mind, the best Fire Emblem game.
Wait, you? That's not you.
No, that's not me, no.
I was going to say, I'm like, what the fuck?
No, dude, I played FE11 like once, and that was just insane.
No, I don't know anybody that thinks Fire Emblem 11 is the best Fire Emblem game.
But see, if you're, like, super into the strategy gameplay, then maybe you would be. FE11, yeah, the map design, like, it was so good, the gameplay was, like, really simple, but, executed very well, and, I don't know, I'm just making this up as I go along, but, I've heard people say FE11's story is great, and then they actually made, like, I wouldn't say it was a great argument, but it was a somewhat convincing argument. I still think the story sucks, but that's neither here nor there. No. So what's our topic for today, Shu?
We're going to be talking about the newly announced, unnamed, mobile Fire Emblem game.
iMobile? Yeah.
I know, I said I, and then I tried to say mobile, and it sounded like I said iMobile, which isn't a real thing, so we're going to move past that.
Sure. It'll probably come out for iOS and Android, because those are kind of the big two, and we saw with Miitomo, Nintendo's only real app so far. That's what they're doing, iOS and Android, which is fair. So they announced a mobile Fire Emblem game. I'm sure most people heard about it, because it was the same day that they also announced the NX is coming in 2017. And funny story, I was actually talking to Shu when it happened. It was like 3 to 4 in the morning.
It was pretty early in the morning.
I was talking to him before, and I was like, all right, I'm going to sleep. And then I went to bed, and because I'm a loser, I went on my phone and checked Twitter, and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at the NX gets something. And then 30 minutes later, I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, you gotta check what happened on Twitter, Fire Emblem Mobile. So that threw me for a loop.
No, definitely. It was surprising and a little strange that it, came out in the middle of the... I guess the people that make these announcements don't live where Blazer and I live because, those were some, wee hours.
Right. So they had an investors meeting or some financial whatever. I don't know because I really don't care.
Some hoopla.
They had something in Japan basically, and because Japan's 12 to 14 hours ahead of us, it was the middle of the night for us. But anyway, my initial reaction, I'll just get straight to it, was feelings of, hey, this could be fun. But I also wasn't very hopeful and don't expect a lot. and I'll get into that later. What about you, Shu?
I don't know. My initial reactions, here's my thing, is the first thing I thought of is that, I guess I have to actually start playing games on my phone, because I'm not really a very big mobile gamer. And that kind of, I don't know, I'm not immediately, I didn't have a gut negative reaction to it by any means, but I am curious to see exactly what the playstyle is going to be, because it's obviously not going to be it's not going to be able to be nearly as robust and, in depth, I guess, as they.
But is that necessarily true, though? Now, of course, I am the skeptic here. Let's not get confused. But I'm also trying to be fair. Let's think about Fire Emblem in terms of control schemes. But actually, even before that, let's take a step just to establish some facts in case anyone isn't aware. So they did say, quote, "At the same time, we still aim to provide a fully engaging experience as a role-playing simulation game." So basically what that means is that with this Fire Emblem mobile game, they are trying to appeal to, again, quote, die-hard fans. They said that somewhere.
That's me and Blazer.
Yeah, sure.
They were definitely thinking of us too when they made that statement, because
I mean, I don't know exactly about that, who they want, or you know, for me, I guess I would say, you know, it depends on your definition of diehard fans, but in terms of it, probably the game's going to be like Awakening Fates and stuff that's popular. So I think what they mean is they're trying to appeal to these people who, you know, are more interested in an actual game as opposed to, you know, like a social app like Miitomo, or maybe like a more casual, easy to get into game like Mario. So I think that's what they mean. Basically, they're saying it's more about targeting that niche group of Fire Emblem fans. That's it's niche, but it's somehow it's like mainstream too.
And it's growing too. I mean, what else are they going to say? That they're going to appeal to a very, very specific group of people? No, I mean, they're going to be trying to get as many people on this Fire Emblem bandwagon as they can. And I think there's probably an aspect to that went into the decision to make a mobile game.
They also said they're releasing Animal Crossing, and I think what they wanted was to say, all right, Animal Crossing is obviously, like, anyone can enjoy it, but it's you know, it's more casual, it's not as intense gameplay. And then you have, you know, Fire Emblem, which they, quote, said, "is not so much the width of the audience as the existence of diehard fans who have stuck to the series for a long time." So we selected, quote, again, "we selected two titles of different categories in IP to reach as many consumers as possible." So it's totally just about, you know, market reach on that. Which I guess is why they wanted to keep it as a role-playing simulation game, because in that sense, if they had changed up the gameplay or formula, it might not appeal to those people who, you know, played the actual games. So there's that. Other than that, there's not a lot of information so far about the game. They said it is also well known by the catchphrase "tough to beat simulation,"
which I don't know anybody who has ever called Fire Emblem a hard to beat simulation. Yeah, I mean, sure.
I don't even think of it as a simulation game. I mean, it definitely is, but for me, it's always been about, you know, turn-based strategy.
Definitely. No, I mean, not even until recently with the last two games, I would even think of the word simulation when it came to Fire Emblem. Not at all.
No. I guess, yeah, with the more recent games, it's definitely more about simulation, especially in terms of the amount of preparation work you're doing before chapters. Like, so for instance, I won't hang on too long, but I've been playing Fire Emblem 6, and, you know, for 5 chapters, you don't even get, you know, battle preps, and then you move on, and it's like, alright, you have battle preps now, but how much are you really doing? You're basically just equipping your dudes with equipment, and in that game, you can't even use items in the menu, so, you know, you're not even doing that much. It's really just inventory management, and then maybe, you know, changing the positions of characters on the map, which is totally different from the newer games where there's all sorts of, you know, upgrading your castle and, you know, skirmishes and barracks or, you know, bonding or whatever. There's just so much more to do that's outside of the, you know, the battle. So I guess in that regard, it has become more of a simulation game and also a role-playing game and less of a turn-based strategy game. But anyway, that's kind of a tangent. So that's the mobile game. That's basically all we know. It's coming fall 2016. It's going to be a, quote, role-playing simulation game. And what I was saying earlier is, in terms of control scheme, think about, say, the DS game. Have you ever tried using the stylus to control the characters?
No. I never. Sure.
Well, believe it or not, that is a feature in the game where you can actually use a stylus. So if we think about it in terms of that, Fire Emblem is actually a solid fit because the game is not real time, so, you know, there's not a need to press a lot of buttons at the, you know, same time as you would in, say, you know, Smash or some other thing. You know, you're basically just moving units, you can take your time, you can stop the game, you know, say mid-turn, while you're, you know, still moving your units or whatever. And it's kind of convenient then, and I think because of that, it's actually a solid fit for Fire Emblem, or for mobile. As much as I hate to admit it. And this is actually why I was kind of anticipating that Fire Emblem would eventually get a mobile game. I just wasn't expecting it so soon as this, because, you know, like, we still haven't even seen a Mario game or a Kirby game or a, you know, there's Pokemon Go, but we haven't seen that really yet. For me, it was kind of surprising, like, hey, you know, we've only released one mobile game and we're already talking about Fire Emblem for mobile. But, yeah, that's where I'm at.
I do find it interesting that it was one of the first IPs that they're going to bring to mobile, because, I don't know, like, I mean, pretty much what you said. I mean, it's not by any means the most popular Nintendo franchise, but you do make a good point in that it fits a lot more than a lot of the other franchises in Nintendo's library, because, I mean, I would have been a lot more skeptical if they came out with saying, oh, there's an F-Zero game for mobile, or, oh, there's a Metroid game for mobile. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. But Fire Emblem, I can see that working to a degree.
Yeah, dude, an F-Zero game for mobile would have to be, like, alright, you tap to go, and then you tilt your controller, your phone, rather.
Yeah,
fuck that. You know, left and right, and I'm just like, that would look so dumb, and, like, I mean, like, if I were, like, doing that out in the public, and eventually just get kind of tiring and cumbersome.
You see, what that Nintendo doesn't think about sometimes is that Blazer and myself, we're cool guys. If they want us to play their games, they need to make games that will make us look cool playing them. So a mobile F-Zero game, out of the question. So don't even try, Nintendo. I know you're listening.
Dude, I wish though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Metroid, that probably wouldn't work too well.
No, I don't think so.
I don't even have any ideas. It would just have to be dumbed down so much. But Animal Crossing, I would say Animal Crossing is another game that's, you know, simple enough, it's fitting. Fire Emblem, yeah.
I think Animal Crossing is probably the perfect choice. I'm glad that was one of the first things I went for, because, I mean, the type of people that are really into playing mobile games, I bet they would love Animal Crossing.
Oh, yeah, no, they would totally eat that up. They just need to make sure they don't ruin it with in-app purchases and other things.
Whoa, we're getting to a little different conversation there, don't we?
Hey, I'm just saying. Like, the idea is definitely there, but it's very difficult to find that balance between making the game fun for people who don't want to pay money and making the game fun for people who, you know, are willing to pay money or whatever. And I'm just scared, because if you're just a little bit off with that balance, you can end up easily losing half your crowd.
I agree.
Go ahead.
Oh my god, that was weird. my question, I mean, is there a question, Lon? Because my question might
no,
be
long. No, not at all.
Okay, well, you should go first then.
I just said I don't remember what it was because you interrupted me.
You didn't remember what it was? Oh, come on. Okay, anyway.
The joy of professional podcasting when two people are doing it over the internet.
Well, internet's tough.
I'm teasing. Go ahead.
My question was to you, Blazer. What, I mean, this is some mad speculation going on right here, but what do you think that they're going to do with Fire Emblem in this mobile game? What shape do you think it's gonna take?
So one thing is that we saw a logo for the new Fire Emblem game, and when we did, there was a symbol that I personally didn't really recognize. I also didn't analyze it. It did look a little bit, it felt very fitting for Fire Emblem, like it kind of looked like a shield or something.
Yep.
I could look it up again, but it wasn't a symbol that I already knew. So that being said, I think this game could very well be a new entry with new characters, which would have the appeal of, you know, hey, people who are playing this game for the first time, who are not already Fire Emblem fans, won't feel alienated by having to get new characters. It's a very weird symbol. It's gold. In a way, it looks like a shield, but it's also not wholesome. Like, there are holes in it that just kind of don't make sense. I guess you could say it's a crest or an emblem of sorts. But who knows what it is. But anyway, that's my speculation, is that it's a new game. There may be cameos. from other games, that's certainly possible. In terms of what it's like, that's such a hard thing to say, but I would say the easiest thing to do, and this actually ties in with another point that I was going to make and forgot about, would be to follow a formula for other RPGs or similar games that also got mobile ports. So the nice thing about Nintendo entering the mobile scene now is that, you know, they don't have to be one of the, you know, the new people going in and like, I don't really know how to do this, and, you know, I don't really know what works. They've got so much data to look at. They've got so many, you know, successful and failed games to look at. There are now a lot of formulas for games, and these formulas, you know, they work, right? They rely on IP because, you know, if all the games are kind of similar, then, you know, there's no reason to play multiple. But I know, Sue, you said you don't play mobile games. I don't really either. I tried a few recently, but even then I only have like a handful of mobile games. There's basically a game called a gacha game. I don't know why it's called that. Maybe because they got your money.
You've been sitting on that one for a while?
Not quite, but that's probably actually what it is. I mean, I could certainly just Google it and find out. But basically these games are games where you have a luck-based system for getting like items or characters or something in a game where basically you need so many like gems, crystals, money, whatever, that you can get both in-game and through purchasing, but of course purchasing is like a billion times faster. And then you spend it getting random, again, equipment, weapons, characters. It really depends on the game. So there's a game called Tales of Link. It's currently out if anyone wants to try it, just to see what the formula is like. Basically, you have characters from the Tales of series. I think you've definitely played that, Shu.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically roll for characters by spending your crystals / money and... or they're called stones, whatever. And then you have a chance of getting like different levels, right? So you can get level 3, 4, 5, 6. The more you spend, like the better chances, whatever. So I think this would be a great fit for Fire Emblem, because let's say you could, you know, borrow characters from all the different games, and you could say, hey, you know, you want this, you know, super cool character. You know, they're like a level 5. They've got like these great stats. You know, you just gotta roll and get them, right? And after you get a character, you, like, form a party of, you know, 13 characters or whatever, and then you go on a map and you go fight baddies, right? And they wouldn't even have to do much of a story. I figure if there is a story, it's going to be very bland. They'll probably have an avatar, again, just because that appeals to people making their own character. And just like this, you know, pretty straightforward, they would make money. They could even expand it to weapons if they wanted by having a slightly different system, but maybe also money-based or something, where you have to purchase weapons or get them via a... It's basically a slot machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think because this is such a common monetization model for video games, I read that off Wikipedia just now. I think it can definitely happen. You can just Google complete gacha and... Yeah, that basically explains it. Again, I don't really know why it's called that, but probably because I got your hand on your wallet.
That was a great joke.
All right, but yeah, that's it. That's my theory, because it would make the most sense. It would be very simple, and it would almost definitely work.
Well, you should mail that into Nintendo. See if they throw you a job.
Right. Now, how would you feel about that, though?
How did you say how would I feel about
yes,
that?
How would you feel? I'm Dr. Feel. How would you feel about it?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess I try not to be too picky as far as like being a video game fan is. I mean, I definitely have opinions and strong opinions on different things in the industry, but for the most part, I try to keep a very open mind, because we might have talked about this on our podcast before, but the problem with a lot of video game fans is that they don't know what they want, especially longtime fans of a particular franchise, that when something new comes out and it's slight and it's different in a way from the previous installments, they're gonna butcher the developer for what they would call abandoning their original fan base, but at the same time, you can't expect this developer to make the same freaking game every installment and still make money on it.
Right.
And how that ties into my approach with this Fire Emblem game is that I've seen a lot of negative reaction to the announcement that there's going to be a mobile Fire Emblem game.
As a frequenter of the Fire Emblem Reddit, is that what you're going to say?
I'm not a frequenter of the Fire Emblem Reddit. I'll tell you that much. I'm not. But honestly, I see more of that on Twitter.
Really?
To be frank. I'm not going to out anybody, but, you know.
I might have said a mean thing or two, but I'm definitely getting the game, and I'm definitely giving it a chance. So.
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
I'm just a skeptic.
Yeah, that's really what it has to come down to. Is that you got to keep an open mind with these type of things. Like, it might not be exactly what I think it's going to be. And I might not like it as much as the other games in the series, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have value in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing I did say recently in the Fire Emblem subreddit, actually, man, look at me. Only going back to what I said earlier. But, dude, totally forgot what I was going to say. Oh, man. Awkward. Yeah, well,
all right, we'll just have an awkward silence for like 10 seconds while you remember.
Okay, well, whatever. But anyway, I mean, I think... Oh, no, I remember what I was going to say. It's that before... Like, between when Radiant Dawn came out and when Fire Emblem Awakening was announced,
mm-hmm.
it was pretty much... nothing for the Fire Emblem community to get excited about. Yeah, there are two games in between them. They're the two Shadow Dragon
remakes. New Mystery.
But, yeah, and New Mystery. But pretty much anybody that was, like, deep in the community at that point or had been there for a while probably already played those old games on emulation.
Or else they just realized that the games were kind of bad.
Yeah, and they were bad on top of it. But, there was nothing to get excited about because they were remakes of games that were really, really old.
That's true.
And they weren't that good. And so Radiant Dawn was released in 2007 and Awakening was announced in 2011. That's 4 years that the community had, like, nothing to care about. Nothing.
What are you talking about, dude? I single-handedly sustained the community with hacking.
Uh-huh. Yep. You really had your...
I'm joking, don't call me on that, guys. I'm sure some jerk will be like, yeah, Blaze is so arrogant, he said he sustained the kid. Like, no, I'm... take a joke. But...
They say that anyway.
In all seriousness, hacking did help with, you know, discussion and spreading and all that. But, yeah, that's true. We really didn't have anything to be
excited about. If you are interested in hacking, check out our old Fire Emblem podcast episode on hacking. They made that like 3 years ago or something. But probably still good.
Don't check that out because the audio is probably bad and we were probably...
No. Hey, come on, man. I'm just saying is that there was a time where it was basically a drought for the Fire Emblem community. And now, I mean, there are mixed feelings on the last two games and what the new fans are, kind of, I guess. But... I don't know. I think you take the good with the bad and much, and I'm really glad that the series didn't just die, which I think some people thought was going to happen after New Mystery came out. And
some people wish it did die, but not saying names. Not me.
Okay, those people are ridiculous because it's still a decent franchise, you know what I mean? Whether or not, I mean, I don't know. I think people are just...
It depends on if you can see value and also how, I guess, invested you are in terms, because I don't think they mean it as necessarily hate for the new fans so much as it is just being better. For me, I'm going to kind of intervene here. Is that okay?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I'm going to say in what you said earlier that I do look at games on their own to start with in terms of, okay, giving them a chance and seeing what merits they have and seeing what value they have. But I don't think it's also fair to say, hey, you know, you can't, you know, compare to the older games at all because... You can also see, all right, you know, what did this game do well? What did it do poorly? And all right, it's in the same series. What's the difference between what this game did well and poorly versus the older games? What could they have kept that, you know, a lot of times game companies, especially Nintendo, will do great things and then they will backstep on it. They will get rid of it.
they will just, you know, fail to do it again. And there's so many examples of this. Fire Emblem is definitely one where, look at, you had FE4 and FE5, where they had skill systems, right? Then you had FE6 through FE7. They did not have almost any skills. All you had were, you know, very rare ones like, you know, lockpicking and, you know, lethality. But, you know, those didn't even have, like, a proper skill system, right? Those are just kind of embedded into the game. And then you had FE8. All right, it had a skill system, but how notable was it compared to other games? Not very at all. And I can come up with so many more examples. You could say that the approach to writing and character development completely changed.
We had a podcast on that, too.
Did we? Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, point being is that, you know, a lot of times they will step back for better or worse, and, you know, they will do things well and they'll fail to do well again. And I'm saying, all right, why can't we take the new good and combine it with the old good? You know, because I just want to play good games in the end, right? Just, if you want to put in some new good and combine it with the old good, that's fine as long as they're still good, right? Being different isn't a flaw. I just want something good.
Yeah. So exactly, and I think a lot of people have a hard time getting past that, and I think that what people want, I mean, games are awesome in that they give people, like, very specific feelings when they play a game that they really like, and I think people that look for that feeling again and again and again, and sometimes they're just not going to find the exact same feeling that they had. Like,
right.
I got a certain feeling playing, like, Halo 3 when it first came out and playing with friends and stuff like that. It was a very specific feeling that I'm never going to get back again. Even if I put Halo 3 in my Xbox and start trying to play it again, it's not going to feel the same because I'm not back there. You know, it's not that period of time. It's totally different. And yeah, I don't know. I think some people don't quite understand that. And when they don't get those types of feelings, when they play new games in their favorite franchise, they get upset. And I think that's, it's a little unfair to the people that put so much effort into making these games. Cause I mean, oftentimes they're very good games in their own rights. They're just having to live up to these unrealistic expectations by the community.
That's true.
Which is why I am going to keep an infinitely open mind when it comes to this new Fire Emblem game. That's not to mean that if it is bad, I'm not going to rip it a new one, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Yep, I'm mostly interested in how they're going to approach the story and the, I guess, the relationship system, for lack of a better word. Because now there's such a focus on, you know, bonding with characters and all that, and I think it could be very interesting or it could end up very twisted. There's just so many possibilities with a mobile game. Again, they could bring in characters from old games, or they could have a completely new cast of characters. And then I'm thinking in terms of levels. If the levels are very like isolated, which oftentimes they are, because they could have, say, special maps that are for events, or, you know, special maps that are you know, limited time, or then they'll have story maps, side story maps. Yeah, you know, if all of these are very isolated, then it could, you know, limit the story, because, you know, when you don't have a linear story, it becomes a lot more difficult to connect it in a deep and valuable way. And saying the word deep in itself isn't really deep, because it's not really saying anything, I know. But it's just how it is. When you have a linear story, you have more control over all the different factors. And I, for me, it makes it easier to control, you know, what happens in the story. So if they have these, you know, isolated maps, it could be every map also has a kind of isolated story that happens different, and it maybe feel like, you know, every chapter is more episodic and not a, you know, continuation of the you know, necessarily the last chapter, which is often very different, because there were many maps in older Fire Emblem games where the maps happened right after each other. And there was, you know, in terms of plot, there was no downtime to go on, you know, side quest, or, you know, take a detour, or, you know, help some random village, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, again, that's very different kind of from also the, you know, the newer games, where you can often, you know, go into different dimensions, or, you know, go into side quests at any time with that non-linear story and approach to levels. Comments?
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes sense. And I would honestly kind of dig that, because I just find that formula changes in Fire Emblem are very interesting. So, yeah, I would like that. It kind of reminds me of that old Fire Emblem game, I guess. I could not tell you what it was for. I want to say it was for, like, that the Nintendo's short-lived disc system thing. It was BS Fire Emblem.
And oh,
BS,
yeah, Satellite something, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, BS stands for some Japanese stuff, I don't know. But
it I was think basically... most people just call it Acania Saga now, but yeah.
Oh, yeah? But it basically was a game that was, like, it consisted of a different, like, challenge maps, essentially. It was just, mm-hmm. like, I think there was one where you had to work as, like, a team of Pegasus Knights, and you had to fight an army that was primarily made up of archers? I want to say that was the case. I never actually played that.
This may or may not be true. I certainly don't know it to be true.
This is all based on, like, a short paragraph I read on an obscure Fire Emblem site probably, like, 8 years ago.
I do see something here, but you do have some non-Pegasus Knights.
Oh, yeah?
From what I'm seeing, so...
Sure. Well, I mean,
anyway, I get the gist of what you're saying, though.
And I think a lot of mobile games kind of go in that direction.
Right, like, that's it.
Kind of like level by level
thing. I think you'll be fine. I'm just saying for, I guess, you know, because everyone has different things that they like in a game, that they value in a game. So, you know, even if two games are both good in their own way, I might, you know, value one a lot and, you know, not another. And that just comes to personal preference and taste, right? My point being that if you look for story in a Fire Emblem game, then, you know, Fire Emblem Mobile, you know, there's a good chance, like, we'll see, that it might not have a story that is enticing and a draw-in or a selling factor, if only because of the, you know, platform it's on. Mobile games usually don't have, you know, super crazy stories, you know, in terms of gameplay design, like I just explained. They kind of aren't suited to it as well. They're also in short bursts, so, you know, a lot of people don't want to, you know, sit through cutscenes. They want to spend more time, you know, playing or doing things. So, you know, if that's a draw for you in terms of Fire Emblem, which for me personally it is, I like the older stories a lot, then, you know, that may or may not be for you. It's just something to consider. And, you know, maybe it is for a lot of people, because, you know, that system, that open system is very convenient. It's handheld, it's portable, you know, even more so than the 3DS, I would argue, because I carry my phone with me everywhere, and I do not carry my 3DS with me everywhere.
Right.
So there are certainly a lot of conveniences and other things. And I'm sure it'll probably be interactive, because mobile games that aren't interactive tend to not have a very long lifespan or gain as much traction or attention. So I, you know, I could see something like a My Castle front system or something like that being adapted to mobile, which would certainly be interesting. Again, for me, it all comes down to execution. I love video games in general, so I'll eat up almost anything. One thing I'll say while I'm ranting is that it's very interesting as series develop, because you oftentimes get a series that can change a lot, and it's still good, but the old form also had its own appeal. And you kind of get a split off where, you know, a series is maybe, you know, two different types of games and people like both, but you have to kind of choose one direction, or else you have to create a spin-off series or something, which just can become very, you know, costly and expensive, and it just become too much for the developers. They can only make so many games, right? So I'm sure you could, you know, think of a game like that. I'm thinking of Metroid right now. Metroid 2D and Metroid 3D, right? Two very, very, very different games. They're both Metroid, though.
You could probably say the same thing about Legend of Zelda. That they were 2D and 3D. I think it's probably less so, but...
Yeah. The design is similar overall, and the gameplay is very similar, but... You're right.
Yeah.
They managed to keep that somehow. They had A Link Between Worlds, yeah. And they have, you know, 3D games. They, you know, they had the remakes and the remasters, and, mm-hmm. you know, the new Legend of Zelda is also 3D. But, of course, that's a series that gets games, you know, almost every year. So I think with Fire Emblem, for instance, they did this weird thing with Birthright and Conquest, where they kind of tried to appeal a little bit to both, you know, older fans and newer ones. But I don't think it's something they can continue, where they can have both the older style Fire Emblem games and the newer ones and appeal to both. I think they're ultimately going to choose one, and, you know, as a business, they're going to choose the one that, you know, more people like, that makes more money. And that goes for other series, Paper Mario. I don't know why I can't think of any more right now, but there are so many different series that will just completely, you know, split off with, you know, games that are there. They clearly have, you know, the same, they're clearly part of the same series, but they just have very different appeals and feels. That rhyme, dude.
Yeah. Definitely did.
You know what I like about this podcast?
What?
There are no jokes.
Well, we're not a comedy podcast. We're like...
I mean, that's true, but I... Yeah.
This is Fire Emblem...
I hold myself to a certain standard of, you know, providing at least a couple laughs per podcast, if possible. Sure.
I think people are just laughing at us the entire time.
For all the wrong reasons, though. So.
Yeah, well, you know. No, it's the Fire Emblem Half Hour with Fire Emblem gurus, Blazer and Shu, you know?
How long have you been a Fire Emblem fan?
Have I? Oh, man, probably easily... Probably a little over 10 years. Maybe 11 to 12.
Right. Yeah, that sounds about right for me. I think I picked up FE7. Let's see, I can calculate. I always question myself because I can't remember. Pretty sure it's 2004, though. So, when did it come out? 2003?
I want to say yes, but...
Okay, so if I was in fourth grade when I played Fire Emblem, and I was born... Alright, so I was 10 plus 10... Yeah, so it was either 2003 or 2000, like late 2003 or 2004, early 2004 probably, that I was playing Fire Emblem. So I came at the very beginning because I'm a hipster that I'm gonna lose. I played Fire Emblem for longer than all you guys, so therefore I'm cooler.
You know, you're OG.
Nah, I'm just joking. I'm just old. Honestly, there are like. A lot of people who've played many of the games way more times than I have, because I'm just not one to replay games a lot. It's just not my thing. I just get bored super easily. Like, even my favorite games, I will only play two or three times, and then I'm like, I'm done. I don't have motivation to play. So apparently, the original Fire Emblem 7 came out November 3rd, 2003. So it was probably a few months after that I got it.
Sure.
Which is fair. You said shut up?
No, I said sure.
Oh, okay. I was like, dude, like, don't be rude. Like, all right.
No, who cares, dude? Are
you questioning me?
I don't buy it.
Nah, I remember that because I got my Game Boy Advance stolen in fourth grade because I was playing Fire Emblem in class, so.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good old days, dude.
It was a good
game. Like you said, I'm never going to get to relive that feeling in that moment, that awe.
Yeah, because you've already played it. I mean, you might get a similar feeling with a totally different game that you never thought you would like as much, but it's I mean, that specific feeling you're never going to get back. Right. And it's a shame, but I mean...
It is what it is, and I just accept it, and I deal with it, and I just try and see the good in things. But, you know, exactly. sometimes the bad things stick out. It's kind of like a rose with thorns, you know? You're like, that's a pretty rose, but then you touch it and it hurts, and you're like, I'm trying to look at the rose, but it just hurts so badly. Yeah. That's all I got, Sue. What about you?
Yeah, I think, I think we stretched this podcast out a good length for how much information we have on it.
Basically nothing. Basically yeah. Told us it's a simulation game, which was revelation in its own.
Yeah. And then we made fun of that, essentially threw it out, and then just talked about what we want to talk about the entire time.
I mean, isn't that basically what we always do?
Oh, yeah, whatever, man.
I mean, we were supposed to do a podcast on Face, but that would require you to get past chapter 12, so.
Oh, dude, low blow. I'm a busy guy, okay?
This is literally all she ever says. You know, I'm a busy guy, dude.
Well, it's still true.
It's still true. I got nothing. No, you're right. Just full of it.
We need to get out of here before we embarrass ourselves even more.
All right, guys, it was a fun podcast. Let us know what you think about Fire Emblem Mobile in the comments. Answer Shu's question at the beginning that I don't remember, but he called you guys out for something, so that's a
thing. Yeah, I don't even remember. No.
Right?
No, wait. No, I still don't remember. Anyway, go to the tape, rewind this podcast.
I think you said it was something about, like, playing Fire Emblem more than everyone else.
Oh. No, I still don't get it. I don't remember.
You don't remember? All right, don't worry. It just looks like when it goes live.
Yeah. You should definitely answer that question. Follow the Twitter account that Blazer runs.
We're going big. It's got like 2,200 followers. I'm like so happy. Thank you for everyone who follows.
Yep.
She occasionally takes over and makes jokes like once every 2 months.
It's like a good cop, bad cop thing where the bad cop only shows up on weekends. But yeah, it's.
I don't want to be the good cop. That's so boring.
Well, you're the one who brings them all the great Fire Emblem information, pretty much around the clock. I swear to God, like here, let me tell you. I'm talking to you, the listener, right now. Okay, if you want to keep up to date on Fire Emblem, what you want to do is you want to download the Twitter app, log into your Twitter. Find the Fire Emblem Buzz Twitter account. It's got a little picture of Roy up there that I made.
And guys, Roy, not Leaf.
Yeah, okay, get over it.
Dude, I love Roy.
Follow the Twitter account. And then set the go into the settings and set it to have his tweet sent to your phone so you will know about this Fire Emblem information the minute it happens, essentially. Blazer finds this stuff out very quickly, and he will let you know, and you will be a better person for it. Trust me, I know.
Yep. I might even start respecting you as a Fire Emblem fan if you do that, so.
Oh, hey, that goes a long way. Blazer doesn't respect anybody.
Straight, I don't. Alright, I'm gonna leave it at that. It was a fun time, though. We'll see you guys not next week.
Yes. As soon as there's something to talk about, we'll talk about it.
It's going to take a lot longer for Shu than next
time. Yeah, well,
we'll see you next time, whenever that is.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Peace.